Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shoujo 2026, a new year of your favorite podcast that recaps and discusses shoujo anime. I'm your host, Sarah, joined as always by the wonderful Joe, putting the Joe in shoujo. How were your holidays, Joe? What are we looking forward to? Resolutions, blah, 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 whatever you want to talk about. Go.
They were good. My mom came to visit me, so we went to a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
I went to see... What? Why are you making
that? Yeah.
Oh, you're like putting your hand up to your ear like you can't hear me, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, that, sorry, I was adjusting my volume.
No, you're good, you're good. Sorry, I thought something was happening. It was me and my mom and my girlfriend that I have, just hanging out.
Yeah.
For the holidays, and we went to see the Nutcracker, which is a thing I had not seen since I was a kid. I saw it in Austin, and I wasn't really like a huge fan of that production, because like the Nutcracker, my understanding is that it's like, it's kind of self-serious because it's like ballet or whatever, and you go and see it and it's like a bunch of performances and stuff like that. And as a kid, I remember it being really long and kind of boring. But when I watched it as an adult, at least this production, and like my mom told me that this is a much more whimsical production, a lot more fun as an adult to watch ballet than it was when I was like 10 or whatever.
Yeah, I imagine so. Okay, nice. I've only seen Barbie and the Nutcracker.
What happens in that?
It's voiced by the guy, the Nutcracker's voiced by the guy who does Moroku and Inuyasha, and then the Rat King is very funny and stuff.
That's cool. Are those Barbie movies good?
I don't think so. But I fondly remember that one. It's like the only one I really watched, I think.
I see. But yeah. But
nice.
So I did that. Just hung out at my apartment. We made food. It was good. I made a ham. I cooked a ham. It worked pretty well. So yeah, there we go. Oh, we made some gingerbread houses out of graham crackers. It was good. I made a windmill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We watched Christmas movies. That's basically it.
Nice. Your video is not synced with your mouth, so it's throwing me off. So I'm just gonna.
Okay.
No, so not important, but I'm just gonna not look at that.
I'm just gonna cover my mouth when I talk so you can't see it. How's this?
That's much better.
Good.
Much better. Yes. What'd your mom say about? Was your mom like, Sarah should be ashamed of herself? Or was she?
Yeah,
like,
that's actually all she talked about the whole time. No, of course not.
Okay.
she likes hearing your opinion. She likes that you have opinions. Independent opinions.
Wow. Your mom is so great.
But season 2 is good. I mean, I like these episodes are good. Are you not enjoying these?
Yeah, I like. Okay, confession. When you don't have Netflix and you're trying to watch this, it's tough. And so the episodes for today that I watched were surprised. The easiest thing to find is the Hindi dub, but I watched English dub of this today. I can't appreciate the voice actors that you wrote, but actually the English dub is pretty good.
Okay.
I actually quite enjoy it.
Well, that's good. Maybe we can find you a better way to watch this. I didn't realize you were like scraping together from different sources, so we can figure that out.
Nah, or I already did it one season. We'll just, I got
maybe this is contributing to your dislike of it.
Yeah, maybe that's.
I'm
just
guessing
so hard to even
that's
watch.
Probably related. I didn't know this about that.
Yeah, it probably, which is unfair of me. But dubbed pretty good.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But the episodes were good as well.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into.
I haven't heard the dub.
This is pretty decent. I recognize some voices, but they're not the ones we'll be talking about. Do you have any resolutions for 2026. I know you read more books, which was one of your ones for 2025.
Yeah.
So you did that.
My resolution is to read better books in 2026.
Okay. Nice, nice.
No, I don't know. Not really. I haven't thought of any in particular.
No.
I need to up my... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
To play more games. I need to play more games. And I would like to go back. Well, I had like a couple of weeks where I was like going to the gym every day and it was crazy. I would like to get back to that, except for I just go to my crappy gym in my apartment that I already pay for instead of going to like a gym. I think that's what I'll aim for this year.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Working out's always a good one.
Yep.
I need to up my language game.
Language game.
Yeah. My language learning has not been up to par. You know, I went to Japan. I've been learning some Japanese. Did not go super great. In terms of me being able to speak and listen to people. So, you know, let's just keep going on that. We're going to double down. We're going to go harder.
On Japanese in particular?
Yeah, maybe some other ones. I've been playing with learning some other ones. I think I'm going to learn some Mandarin also. I think I'm going to learn some... I keep being like, what if I learn some French? What if I learned all of the hard languages?
Mm.
Wouldn't that be cool?
If anyone can do it, you can, Joe.
I don't think that's true. I think other people can do it, and I just kind of suck.
No, Joe, you can do it.
No. But yeah, so I'm going to be toying with that. Yeah, I don't know. What else do I need to do? I need to get through my video game backlog. I've been actually not that bad on my backlog. Like, it hasn't gotten totally unmanageable. Like, I can see a way in which I can get through it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. How is yours?
Insurmountable. My backlog of games I own that I haven't played
or
finished? Impossible.
It's impossible.
I guess if I really wanted to do the game more, make that attempt. I did pick up a game that I had dropped previously. So that's a start, I guess. I yesterday played Expedition 33 because I like bought it months ago, picked it up, sucked at dodging, parrying, whatever. But yesterday I was like, I'm just going to stream a few games till I figure something out. So I picked up a few more that were on sale. I picked up The Outer Worlds, which I played for like 2 hours and basically was like, nothing feels special about this to me. Well, someone had asked me while I was streaming, like, how are you liking it? And I was like, it's whatever. And then I was like, that probably means I should stop playing it and try something else.
Yeah.
But that's my feelings about it.
Yeah.
So then I tried to launch a few games and they were not cooperating. So decided to do Player Obscure, which I didn't remember the premise of the world. And so once to any point of it, I was like, what is happening? Why is it? It's like, what? I had to relook. Well, it's a game that super doesn't tell you up front. I guess because like Googled like explanation of the first 30 minutes. It's like, just read the box. The description of the game, and that pretty much sets it up for you. But I'm like, I don't do that anymore. I don't read the description of a game necessarily. I just hear it's good and then I get it. But I'm a few hours into that now. It's weird because the voice for Shadowheart is a character in it, and that's throwing me off. I'm like, this isn't you, Shadowheart. it's some other person with your voice.
Cool.
Any exciting plans for, well, by the time this comes out, it will be 2026, but this is the day before New Year's Eve that we're recording. One plan for New Year's Eve?
Not really for New Year's Eve. I'm just doing normal stuff, but on New Year's Day, I'm going to go skiing for the first time.
What?
Yeah. I've lived in Ohio for years and I've never gone to the slopes. So now it's my turn to experience going downhill quickly. Oh my god,
that's so exciting.
Yeah, I've never done it. We never like did that. My family does not do that. My sister has as an adult and she says it's fun. So she's like, you'll like it, but I haven't had an opportunity to do it until now.
I think if you'll like it, your sister knows you better than me. Or you'll have fun with friends. You're learning. Are you just going to have a friend teach you?
Yeah.
Or are you doing a lesson? Okay.
I mean, I think there's like some like beginner stuff they go through for like a couple hours, okay. But I don't think it's going to be. This is not like it's a ski place in Ohio. So it's not particularly challenging, it seems. This is like a pretty like beginner friendly place.
Good.
And
that's good.
It's also only 45 minutes away.
It's supposed to be easier to learn. I learned snowboarding, which is way harder. And I also was stingy. I'm like, I ain't paying for lessons. Hey, you, I know you, teach me. And
hey,
I'm
going
to get mad at you because I'm bad at it. And then eventually get the hang of it. But skiing is supposed to be easier to pick up, but maybe harder to master. I don't know. Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Starting How about you? Year with a bang. Hang out with people who have an early flight the next day, so they won't actually be staying out till midnight. So I'll just be home at a reasonable time, which I guess it's good because it's not safe necessarily to be out on maybe the busiest night of the year. So nothing crazy, but something. But the group is. We're going places to watch football, so that might be where, like, I'm drinking to drown my boredom or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. We shall, whatever. Go with the flow. Yeah. New Year's. New us.
New us.
Yeah. What do we have any pod goals?
Well, the next show we're covering is one that I'm excited about that maybe is part of the I think I've been looking forward to ever since we started this. So I'm going to be pretty excited, but I don't know. I don't think we have it. Like, do we have any major goals? I need to read some manga. That's my goal. I need to actually read some manga so we can do some manga bonus episodes. For some reason, I keep not doing it. The only time I can like sit down and force myself to read a book is when I have to, which is why I'm in all these book clubs. So I really need to start like, I have my book club books and then I have one book that I'm trying to like power through and I need to make that manga for a little bit. Cause I keep making it other stuff. Cause they're like, it keeps being like entries in series that I haven't read in like a year and a half. So I'm like, if I wait any longer, I'm going to forget. And then I'll never be able to read the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got to do it. I just got to force it down, you know?
Well, I feel like one volume of manga takes about 40 minutes to read. So you got this.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I got it. I can do it. I can do it. I just need to make the time and do it.
Yep, yep, yep.
Time. They should invent more of that.
Or you free up your time from obligation.
I should quit my job.
So much time.
That's what I should do.
That's
my biggest time obligation.
Time.
It's
yeah,
that or sleeping.
True.
Those are my biggest ones. I got to cut down on one of them. What if I slept during my job, but also still did it somehow?
Yeah.
What if I create an AI agent that is me for a couple hours? Or maybe
well,
the AI
work,
agent will sleep
pretty,
for me.
Are you like interacting with people a lot of the time, or are you just kind of heads down doing your own thing?
I kind of do my own thing for a lot of it.
Yeah, no one will ever know.
No one will ever know until I don't produce output, which will be pretty obvious.
Oh, dang. Well,
yeah.
Speaking of output, let's
speaking
tell
of
some...
dreaming sleeping, does she do that in this episode?
Yeah,
she kind of does
better.
That
yeah kind of yeah
yeah
that's a better one. Yep, rolling with that.
All right,
segue.
We'll talk about My Happy Marriage season 2 episodes 3 and 4, two episodes I like.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're doing stuff. I got some voice actors. These are for characters that get introduced these episodes. So be on the lookout for them when I mention them. The first one is Naoshi Usui, who is the big bad of this season, it seems. And he is voiced by Yuya Uchida, who is the voice of Gagali in Chainsaw Man, which is one of the devils with the mask. I think he's like the violence one, maybe. It's mostly in the movie that I haven't seen, but I have read the manga, so I know who that guy is. He also plays Prospero Charlotte in One Piece, which is one of the, he's like the first son of the Big Mama Pirates. There was a whole arc with them. He plays a guy named Ordin in Frieren who has red hair. And I think he's like the guy who's like the lord of that one place they go and have to fight those demons. I believe that's true. And he's also the voice of Frankenstein from Soul Eater.
Ah, that one I know.
There we go.
Woo!
Good.
Yay, Soul Eater.
Fun character. But yeah, not like a ton, like does a lot of work, not a lot of stuff I have seen particularly.
Yeah.
Which is not true of our second voice actor. So the voice actress for, I have to say this name a lot, so I feel like I'm just pronouncing yeah, it for you the first time.
Practice it.
Kaoruko. Kaoruko Junoichi, who's a character we will meet in episode 4, is voiced by Haruka Tomatsu, who is the voice of Gintoke and Gintama, the 2015. That's the main character. That's the main guy. So that's like a pretty big role.
2015? Did they redo Gintama?
I think it's like they do series. It's like a series. It's like a long going. I don't know if it's like a Lupin kind of deal. I don't really know much about Gintama.
I just know it's a comedy.
Yeah, it's like a comedy action thing.
Yeah.
But this is specifically the 2015 one. So I don't know. She's also the voice of Psyche in Psyche K, a show that's popular and kind of modern.
That's the pink haired thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm, it's the guy on the cover.
A lot of dude voices.
A lot of dude voices. She plays Ina in Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? This is a little elf receptionist. She plays Shizuku Mitsutani in The Monster Next Door, which is like a shoujo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That may not be the English title that's on the thing. I just picked one of them that was listed.
I don't know if that's the exact name, but I
she's got the blonde hair. He's like the guy with like the chain thing. She plays Morgana in Magi, the Kingdom of Magic, or the Magic Labyrinth. I don't know. One of those two. I've heard both of those. the red-haired one who kicks things. She plays Haru Okamura in all of the Persona 5 animated stuff.
Haru is cute.
Haru. She plays 02 in Darling in the Franxx. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yes, I have.
And she plays Asuna in all of the Sword Art Online stuff.
Okay, so
big roles.
Yeah. Things. Yep.
Main character. Okay. Real main character energy off of this one.
Yes.
Which is kind of true of the character also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that's not until episode 4. Right now we're in episode 3. And episode 3 is called The Gifted Communion and Demons. We open at the end of last episode where Arata is scolding Mio for using her Dream Maiden powers all alone. Fuyu chimes in to be like, hey, I'm also Rear. Like, who the hell are you, guy? And Arata introduces himself as Arata Asuba, a businessman and negotiator for the Imperial Order. And she's like, oh, wow. Okay. You're like legit. Then they turn their attention back to the matter at hand. Mio insists that she's going to save this guy because she's saving this guy who got attacked by an Oni. And Arata's like, all right, well, it seems like you've made up your mind to like do this. So I guess you should do it. And I'll be here to watch you if things go bad, which kind of makes me wonder why you interrupted in the first place. If you were just going to be like, all right, you just go do it now. Elsewhere, Kyoka runs into some fleeing villagers who tell him that the Oni is at the abandoned shack. So he heads over here. There's a very funny animation thing that happens where a guy is running, but he's not moving.
Yeah.
It looks like he's just running in place. I don't know why they didn't just move the character up a little bit.
Yeah. I did note that. Yeah.
That was very weird.
Yeah.
At the shack, Kyoka runs into another cultist who is chatty. This cultist claims that he is fighting for equality. It's unfair that such a small number of elite have magical powers and keep it all a secret from everyone else. Shouldn't everybody have magical powers? Why should only rich guys like you have it? All valid questions. But Kyoka says he isn't here for a debate. He's here to stop demons from eating people. And the cultist says that the Gifted Communion will liberate supernatural abilities from the lay folk, as proclaimed by their founder, Naoshi Usui, and then he disappears and then runs away. He literally turns invisible.
They're all real mouthy, these cultists.
Yeah, we love talk. I mean, you know how much cultists love to talk. Uh-huh. Suddenly, the Oni appears with two different cultists, like, riding on his back. The Oni rushes Kyoka, but is stopped when Tadakio casts magic, ice magic on it. And Kyoka's like, what are you doing here, Dad? And Tadakio's like, I'm here to help. And he's like, all right. They split up.
His dad's way cooler.
His dad is way cooler. Because they split up and Kyoka takes the Oni while his dad takes the cultist. And Tadakio just, like, beats the cultist very easily with hand-to-hand combat. He's, like, throwing them around.
Yeah, well, Kyoka always just stands there and does the arm thing. He doesn't actually move. He just stances. But, like, his dad is agile and doing stuff and having fun with it.
Yeah, he's having a good time. Kyoka just kind of sits there and blasts him.
Yep.
Kyoka very easily defeats the Oni by just blasting him with magic. And then once defeated, they see that the Oni transforms back into an ordinary person with a blood vial around their neck. And they think that he transformed by drinking that blood vial. Elsewhere, Mio enters Kota's dream, who's the guy she's trying to save, and finds him half-transformed into an Oni himself. She tries to wake him up, but the Oni starts dragging him down into the floor, which is, like, made of water in, like, a really cool effect. Mio tries to purge the demon by blasting it with some cleansing light, and it seems to work, and the two of them wake up.
Okay, doesn't, like, both encounters just seem too easy? Boom.
It does seem easy. Done. I mean, I guess, like, in the cultist defense, they weren't expecting these guys to just show up. So
I guess so. Yeah. It just seems too, or I'm used to more than,
well,
just like,
yeah,
bam, done.
They do make it seem like this is really dangerous for Mio, and then she just kind of does it really easily. And there really isn't that much danger. I thought she was gonna have to, like, plunge in and pull him out, but she kind of just, like, casts light and does it. Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be more danger later. It seems like the main antagonist is pretty dangerous, so I'm sure we'll get some actual danger. Kota seems to be doing better. Just as Kyoka arrives back at the house, he and Mio hug, and then Kyoka sees Arata and is in a bad mood again. Kyoka fills them all in on the blood vial and the gifted communion. Arata recognizes the name of the leader and gets freaked out, because apparently now she, Asui, is also in Asuba. Asuba, Asui, get it? It's not very subtle.
No, not at all.
They go outside, and Arata explains that now she ran away from the Asuba family after losing out to marrying Sumi, Mio's mother. He just kind of vanishes without a trace, but if he's still alive, he could be the cultist founder. I mean, that's not unreasonable. And Arata leaves to report to Takehito. Kyoka gives Mio his jacket because it's cold outside, and he tells Mio he's sorry for all the trouble with, you know, the cultists and also my mom. This has been a pretty bad trip, huh? He says that they should work together from now on to accomplish their goals as a team. Mio's like, are you sure you want me to be on the team? Like, I don't feel like I was really that useful. But Kyoka says he can't live without her. And then the two of them share a kiss.
Ooh, a kiss.
The kiss on screen, finally.
This is what we came for.
Yeah.
More of this.
Yeah, give me your jacket. Kiss me. Tell me you want to be on a team with me. We cut to the next morning. Mio couldn't sleep because she kept thinking about her kiss.
Oh, yeah.
She packs her stuff and realizes that she never got to wear the dress Hazuki and her got when they went shopping. Back in episode one. That thing they were doing. She gets a knock at the door. It's Fuyu and Nae. Fuyu makes a big production of reminding Mio that she's unfit to be a Kudo, and then starts making some backhanded compliments about her dress, and then nagging Mio for, like, apologizing and stuttering too much. It's really, like, does not seem like it's going great. But then she adds that she came here to say that even though Mio has no manners or talent, she did risk her life to help Kyoka, and that's pretty cool, I guess. So, you know, you're doing pretty well as a fiance. Then she gives Mio a bow in the most tsundere way possible, and then leaves.
Uh-huh.
It's very goofy. Have we talked about tsundere yet? Has this come up in anything?
I think we've mentioned it in passing, but you can explain it again if you
should give us a the resident expert.
Oh, it's like a personality type, I guess, in anime sometimes, where the character, you know, acts all tough and, like, mean on the outside, but on the inside they're a big softy, basically. And often in shoujo is typically males that are demonstrating this personality trait, but as we see here, it's not exclusively to dudes.
Yeah, it's usually like a romantic trope, right? Where it's like, oh, this person likes you. Or it's like, oh, I'm not doing this because I like you or anything. You know, it's the like, I'm being mean to you as a way for covering up my complicated feelings I don't quite understand. Ooh. Usually this is happening with high schoolers, so it makes more sense. And not a woman who is 50 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's pretty funny. I don't know. She gets her a bow. Yeah. We got mother's approval, kind of, I guess.
Kind of, yeah.
Fuyu sees Kyoka in the hallway, and she tells him to work on Mio's confidence by the next time that they visit. And Kyoka takes this as meaning that she's accepted her as his fiancé. So, small victories!
Yeah.
Yay!
All I gotta do is drop the Suba name and... You'll score points.
You just need your brother or your cousin, a businessman and negotiator for the emperor, to show up to really win you some points.
Business card.
He does give her a business card in like the middle of like an emergency situation. It's very funny that he just has that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she saves Kota or whatever. So that's good. That's cool. She's got cool magical powers and she uses them to do stuff. I'd be impressed too.
I guess we just don't get to see Mom or Fuyu have any powers. She must to have married into the family.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen Hazuki do anything yet either. And I feel like she could.
Freaking come on.
Yeah.
Give us something.
Mio says bye to everybody in her new dress. It looks pretty good. And then she and Kyoka set out. And Arata. Arata also sets out with them. They leave.
Third wheel for life.
Third wheel. And my cousin is also here.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Godo and some men launch a raid on a cultist building. But it's a trap and they all get blown up instead. Pretty slick trap here. I mean, I don't understand how they didn't see that this was an empty building when they ran in, but they sure fell for it.
Yeah, they did.
Mio, Kyoka, and Arata arrive at the train station in Tokyo. They're about to go their separate ways when suddenly they are engulfed in a red-toned barrier. And everything, time kind of like slows down, and a bi-spectacled man shows up. The same one from her vision in episode one. And he greets Kyoka, Arata, and his darling daughter Mio as we cut to credits.
Bum, bum, bum.
This was cool. I like this effect.
Yeah. Bispectacled man. We can't just say man with glasses.
Bispectacled. Yeah, I gotta say bispectacled. A man with glasses. That's not ominous. This guy's ominous.
Mm-hmm.
And the glasses are like kind of goofy. They're like round. Like he's in a library.
Yeah.
It's not ominous. He's not like a particularly scary looking guy.
No, but he's all, it's creepy calling her his daughter when we know.
He is calling her his daughter, but she has a dad, this guy who sucks and we don't talk to anymore.
Yeah. Here's the alternative. Now do you feel so bad about, I mean, look, you could have had an insane person as your dad, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe things turned out for the better.
Yeah, maybe it was good. So what do you think about this episode? We got some action.
Resolutions with the in-laws.
Resolutions. They kiss.
Kyoka's dad is cool. Yes, they kiss.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
He never finds out that his mom made her be a maid, I guess.
Nope. Never found that out. But I thought we were gonna spend more time with the parents and like learn stuff, but this kind of seemed, because they leave from here and then kind of the B plot takes over as like the main plot, it kind of seems like.
Yeah.
Which is fine because the B plot seems pretty interesting this time. But I guess this is like the resolution we get with the mom. This is okay.
Yeah.
It feels realistic, I guess.
That's not completely satisfying.
That it doesn't really feel like everything's resolved, but we're on the right track.
Yeah, maybe it's like you get to meet her while she's still figuring it out so that the next time they meet, Mio is like way more like sure of herself, and then it's like now I can more easily accept because I've seen the growth
or
something.
Well, and there's like a lot of stuff we didn't quite get, like we don't know why she didn't know that she was an Asuba. And also Fuyu seems kind of sick. We still haven't gotten much on that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some stuff to revisit later, I guess. But
well, that's that. I'm excited for this next episode.
All right,
I like our new character.
Let's talk about episode 4, which is called What the Autumn Wind Brought. We open back up on the appearance of Naoshi Asui, who's this guy, if you didn't catch that. Naoshi makes jokes about this being dramatic. He's like, wow, isn't this dramatic? As Kyoka readies some lightning. Now she says he just came to talk, but then Arata draws a gun, and now she disappears and reappears behind Mio, saying that he's going to find her again. Kyoka pulls Mio away and blasts Naoshi with fire, but then we see that he wasn't actually there as the OP plays.
Well, what's the point of this if you're not going to make any moves? It's just to intimidate?
He's like...
It's just giving her a chance to, like, use her abilities.
He's just showing off. I mean, like, it's very funny that he comes here in the most dramatic way, and he's like, dang, isn't this dramatic? Uh-huh. I like him. I like this showiness.
He's got crazy eyes.
He's got crazy very eyes. Smirky. Unfortunately, he seems like he's smug. Just going to be a crazy guy, which is kind of uninteresting to me, but I hope he's, like, goofy, like he kind of was there.
We'll see.
We return back to a, like, grotesquerie hunter council meeting where we learn that the explosion last episode landed Goto and his squad in the hospital for the next few months. So they've called in some reinforcements from the capital. And we're introduced to Kaoruko, Junoichi, a woman officer who has been transferred to fill Goto's role. They go over to Naoshi Asui, and we learn that he somehow escaped the government surveillance that all gift users are put under at all times.
Oh,
which we learn about. Which does not sound great. I don't like that.
No.
And they speculate about his abilities. Mio and Arata arrive at HQ to sit in on the meeting, and they ask Arata what he knows about Naoshi's abilities. Arata explains that Naoshi basically could put people under complete hypnosis, but there are some limits about his range and duration. So, you know, it's going to be tough, but he's not, like, invincible. Mio notices that she's getting a lot of suspicious looks from some of the other officers. They talk about Mio's dream maiden abilities and say that she'll be put under their protection, with Kaoruko assigned as her bodyguard, because... Now she wants that for some reason. I don't know. I mean, he did say he's going to find her again, so it's best we just put her under surveillance. Mm-hmm. Kaoruko and Mio make their introductions, and Kaoruko gives Mio a tour of the grounds. Mio notices that things like the women's bathroom and changing rooms are missing, and Kaoruko explains that those are in a different building because there are no other women officers, and it's a huge pain in the ass that it's in another building. I'm pretty sure this exact situation happened in Congress, like, up until, like, 4 years ago or something.
God. That sucks.
Then Kaoruko notes that she and Mio are a lot alike. They're around the same age. They're both unmarried for now. And they have supernatural abilities. And then she awkwardly asks Mio if she'll be her friend. And Mio is surprised, but also in need of some friends. So she agrees and they shake hands.
Yay, friendship.
Yay, this is very funny to me when I watch, because I was watching this with my mom. I'm like, oh, she's like, I'm going to ask if you want to be friends. And I'm like, oh my God, she's so awkward.
Well.
It's cute. It's endearing.
Neither one of them probably have the most. I don't know. How do you make friends? I feel like you just become friends. You don't state it.
You normally don't state it, but I do like the idea that you can just
more...
short circuit it by stating it. Like it's like a speed run tactic.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're both kind of in peculiar situations, and she just got there and probably is like,
yeah,
I don't know.
No, yeah. It's good. It's perfect for Mio. It's great.
Yeah, she needs the clarity herself. She's not one to pick up on things. So.
They continue the tour until they arrive at the kitchen, which is a huge mess. And Kaoruko says that the men here don't usually clean up, so it's always kind of gross. Then they go to the mess hall, and Kaoruko says the food is really good. And Mio wonders if Kyoka would rather have the food there than what she makes him for lunch.
Okay, but why do they have a separate kitchen? If they have the mess hall.
Yeah, that seems like the kitchen that regular people use. And then the mess hall is where like actual cooks they hire use.
Yeah, gross. I can't. What kind of people just leave the Camille kitchen dirty like that? It's pretty shitty.
I don't know. They like in my subtitles, they refer to it as a kitchenette, which is like a smaller kitchen, I guess, because it has et at the end. Uh-huh. That's what I assume it is. Mio asks if there are other women officers, and Kaoruko explains that she is the only one because women are generally not allowed to join the military. But with a shortage of gift users, she was given special permission to join. We have our Oscar, baby. They go to the dojo where they meet squad leader Mukadeyama.
Say it.
Mukadeyama, there it is, who runs the training grounds. We learned that Kaoruko's family owned a dojo and she grew up doing kendo, so she's really good at it. Mukadeyama asks Kaoruko to spar with a recruit and she agrees and they spar While some other recruits jeer and comment about her being a woman, they're like, you can't lose to a girl. But she pretty easily beats this guy. So he does lose.
Get wrecked. Bruh.
Yeah. Mukadayama explains to Mio that Kariko is very talented, and if she wasn't a woman, she'd probably be promoted faster. And then he tells Mio that many officers think that having a woman around is a liability. Note the fact that Mio's an Asuba whose, like, traditional job is to kill gift users. So, you know, they're kind of wary of you. So, like, be careful, I guess. I don't really know what the implication of that was. People don't like you here.
Yeah.
He says.
Well, I couldn't tell if he was saying that to be, like, you know, just so you're aware, people feel like this, but I don't feel like this. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's, like, your abilities. Remember when we thought no one had heard of Asuba? No, that's not true.
That's true. Everybody knows who it is. Yeah, yeah, that's very true.
And what they're all about.
He's definitely saying this to, like, Warner, because you can tell he likes Kariko. So I think he's, like, a cool guy. But it seems that a lot of the other people are not cool guys. So this is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, causes Mia to remember all the weird looks she's gotten, and then she kind of pieces it all together. She's like, oh, great. Another place I'm not welcome. Every day, Mio goes into some other place where she is not welcome.
How is she supposed to build up her confidence if she just keeps getting crapped on by everyone?
Yeah. She thinks she and Kariko are similar in a lot of ways. Mio really admires her tenacity. At the Asuba estate, Arata tries to look up some stuff about Naoshi when this guy, is his name Yashiro? Let me confirm that that's his name. I just kind of thought it was his name. But it's been a while since we've seen his grandpa, and I don't know if that's his name. Let me look. I'm getting close.
Might be right.
It's Yoshiro. Ha. Yoshiro shows up and asks what you up to, Arata, and they talk about Naoshi, and Yoshiro gives some exposition about him. Apparently, Naoshi was a very talented boy growing up, but he was also a psychopath. Only Sumi would stand up to him and wasn't scared of him, so they got to be kind of close to each other. Back at home, Mio fills Kyoka in on her day, and she asks if he'd rather eat the food at the dining hall than what she makes him for lunch. But he says that he loves eating her lunches, so she should keep making them if it's not too much trouble. Then we get another ill-signaled flashback. Like, they need to somehow indicate that this is a flashback, because it looks like it's the next scene, but it's not, because it's him and his dad talking at their house, which wouldn't make any sense. Anyway, Kyoka talks to his dad. He's like, hey, if I die, you need to take care of Mio. And his dad's like, wow, you, like, really care for her. You must love her so much. And he's like, yeah.
You know, thinking, I guess, you know, most shoujo, we get, like, for example, when they kiss, it's just them kissing. There's no, like, flowers, whatever. There's no sparkles, no, like, visual cues happening.
Yeah.
That most shoujos would have. So I don't know if it did have that and they just took all of that out. And that's why, like, things like flashbacks aren't, we just have no visual aid other than, like, what you would see if you were in the scene itself. But
maybe this is because it's adapted from a light novel. Cause, like, a novel wouldn't have any of that stuff. Right. Whereas, like, most of the stuff we've watched are manga adaptations, which would have, like, visual gags in it and, like, visual stuff.
Yeah.
I guess I've never really thought about that, but I guess that would make a difference. Like, I don't know. Would you, if you're, like, the animation director, do you have to, like, consult the author and be like, hey, how cartoony can we make this? Or do you just have license to do it?
I mean, I guess we really don't have any cartoony moments at all in the show.
No.
So, and
I guess this is why they made a live action of it.
Rigid. Yeah, that's true. Oh, you think the magic looks good in the live action?
No, but there's really not that much complicated magic in the first season.
No,
like, there's just lightning
really.
And fire blasts, which I feel like you can do. And, like, they levitate some tables and stuff. Actually, like, nothing so far has been, like, visually that complicated, I feel like, in terms of the magic, except for, like, the dream world, which would be kind of hard to shoot.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, and then we cut to Mio dreaming about young Sumi and Naoshi. Sumi scolds Naoshi for beating up a kid so badly he landed in the hospital, but Naoshi doesn't really seem to care and instead just kind of teases Sumi. It's a weird interaction. Weird vibes from this kid.
It'd be stressful being like, hey, you got your little, like, psycho cousin. You're the only one who kind of can deal with him. Can you go deal with him? And you're just a freaking kid. It's like, let me go quell the... it's like... uncomfy.
Yeah,
to hang out with the
vibes are bad.
Tick in the family. Yeah,
I'm afraid that every moment of Sumi's life has been terrible. Mia wakes up and wonders what that dream was about. She's like, I don't really understand my powers. Like, is that supposed to help me? What am I doing here? But then we cut to her doing something that she knows will be helpful. Cleaning the kitchenette at the barracks. And Kariko is also here to help out. And Mio apologizes to her. But Kariko's like, nah, it's cool. We got permission. So we can do this. At the hospital, Kazushi visits Goto. Kazushi is the brother of Toji. From season one, the guy with like the red hair and wears the flashy stuff.
You got this.
I guess they're just boyfriends now. Are they just boyfriends? He visits. He's always with him.
He does. That's true. I guess they're like the little duo.
He visits his boyfriend in the hospital. And
even though Goto's always talking about girls,
Goto's always talking about Kyoka is what he's talking about.
Oh, you're
He's
right.
Like, Kyoka's never nice to me in the OVA when he gets drunk next to Kazushi, who's also his boyfriend there. It's crazy. Why are they like this? Ooh. Anyway, Kazushi tells Goto that Kariko is filling in for him while he's on sick leave, and Goto recognizes her name and is surprised as we cut to credits.
Okay, well, before you did all that boyfriend stuff, I was like, oh, maybe he recognizes her name because, like, he likes her or something.
No way.
And not in a foreboding, like, oh, she's bad way.
Oh, you think so?
That I think it's trying to trick us into thinking, but I don't think that's how it actually is going to go.
Dude, he can't be into her. He's got his boyfriend visiting him in the hospital.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Okay, well, what do you think? What's your speculation?
About what?
His recognition.
I don't know. There's got to be something. Maybe she has a weird power. We don't know what her power is.
That's true.
You know? Maybe it's not generic element attack.
Maybe. Maybe it's something more interesting than that.
Hopefully.
Better than the main dude's powers. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be pretty good. No, I'm not sure. But I'm excited to learn because I like Kariko.
Yeah, I do too. She's cute. She's nice.
What are your thoughts? Tell me about her.
We were always like, what, are we ever gonna find any chicks who are any good at anything? So we haven't seen her do it yet, but this will be the first time, other than the dream stuff, that we see a woman demonstrating any kind of ability here. So I'm excited for that.
It would be nice. It would be nice. How Oscar coded do we feel like she is?
I don't think she's gonna be on a high horse like Oscar. You know, Oscar's all
yeah. Well, Oscar's like a noble
and this and the
yeah.
Yes. So I think she's just trying to make the best of. I don't know. She comes from a family of dojo. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll learn more about her. It's hard to say. We don't know that much about her.
Yeah.
She comes from a family with the dojo.
Good at sword fighting.
She's allowed to serve. Yeah, she's good at sword fighting. We'll see.
What do we think about the cult stuff? I haven't really got to this. The reveal this episode that what's his face? Now she is just like a no empathy psychopath guy. I find very disappointing because this is going to be like, because
I mean, maybe we learn more. We also don't know that much.
That's
about
true.
Him
maybe
either.
We learn more, but
it's hard to.
I am disheartened by the history of shows that will be like, here's an actual problem that these people are mad about. They're mad that magical powers are hoarded by the elite and wielded however they feel they need to wield them. And then it turns out that the cult is ran by a guy who obviously is not going to give a shit about that.
Well, and his power is the ability to like hypnotize. So it's like, is he doing that to the followers or?
That's what I'm worried about.
He's from one of the such family that they're, you know, whining about is like what his origin story is the same as these other people that they're mad at.
Yeah. But it's disappointing to me because it's like a legitimately an interesting question to ask. Like, okay, yeah, what is the situation here? Like, is it good that that like these aristocrats have the power and everybody who else is like drafted into the military and put under government surveillance? Because we all know the government's not being run well because the last emperor got himself blown up for being a weird freak about things. So it's not exactly like we could trust these guys. But I'm afraid we are not going to engage with that question because the leader clearly is just making that up.
Yeah, probably not.
Real real Legend of Korra season one vibes from this thing.
Amon.
Yeah, very much the same thing.
Disappointing, yeah.
Disappointing, because these guys are supposed to be like the fake communists, right?
Sure. Yeah. What? I'm thinking, honestly, not thinking that deeply about it. I'm just like, when's our next kiss?
That's fair. That's
what
fair.
I'm here for.
Yeah.
No. What if you get married in a show called My Happy Marriage?
That's a good question. Legitimate question. When is that happening? Is it on the calendar? Are we waiting? We got a countdown clock.
Yeah. Come on.
It's very funny when Kairika was like, oh, we're both unmarried. And I'm like, dude, she's literally engaged. Do you not know she's engaged to your boss?
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't. She's introduced as Mio Asuba and not Kyoka's fiance.
I don't know. Surely.
They must know.
She hasn't gone inside, but she said they should.
Yeah.
Lest they harass her and learn the hard way.
Yeah. Ugh, weird. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to learn more. I feel I'm looking forward to this plot more. I like the B plot seems like it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, we're going to be doing more stuff with Kairika, who has her own stuff going on, so it's like a little bit more interesting side character wise. We're finally getting some side character engagement, which is something we wanted mm-hmm. in this season.
Yes, I do feel we keep ending with like, oh well, we're excited to learn more about this character, and then you know the last set of characters we had, we just exit out of that little arc real fast.
That's
so
true.
It's like hopefully,
yeah,
we get
hopefully
more.
I mean, so much happens in these episodes. I feel like we're moving at a clip where stuff can actually happen. You know what I mean? Like, we can have reveals. We can have stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I also normally am like, God, I hate flashbacks. I don't care. But in this show, it's like, oh, I'd love to learn more about anyone. So the interesting change of what I normally desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Nah.
Next time.
Episodes 5 and 6. Move through it. Going along. I feel like we're closer than ever to Mio telling a joke. She has a friend who would probably laugh at a joke.
Yeah. In like an awkward, like, pity way.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Yeah. But that's closer than we've ever been.
Maybe if this Usui guy had been her dad, she would.
Oh, yeah. I hope he's funny.
We'll see. Okay, well, you know what I would like to see in 2026 for our podcast?
More
I would like
reviews.
To see some yeah
like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Shoujo Pod at YouTube. Is it, how do you end those? Yeah. And
We're on YouTube,
follow our
and
Instagram. And give us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. It's important. Rate the episodes.
I'm doing this segment. You're already doing all the talking through. Maybe I should be.
Oh, am I talking too much? I guess I am. You do it.
No, I feel bad because it's like, okay, all I do is be like, hi, guys. In a not like consistent way at the beginning. And then it's like, okay, Joe, now you do everything and I'll just. Yeah, throughout it.
All right.
So you're doing so much talking. I feel like I shouldn't be asking you to do.
You should talk more. If you want to talk more, go for it.
I should. Well, you already nailed it this time. Next time,
the perfect one.
But now to the segment that is all you. What did we learn?
What did you learn?
Bespectacled.
If you're wearing glasses, it's not ominous. But if you're bispectacled, then you are ominous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Let me think.
If you have little circle glasses, then you have to know good.
What did I learn? You can just ask people to be your friend straight up through their face. Just be like, hey, you want to be my friend? That works. No, I kind of already knew that. What else is there to learn about my happy marriage?
Wear the dress. If you bought the dress, wear it.
Wear the dress, yeah. incorporate the bow you got as a gift.
Say yes to the dress. Super match, but what?
I did not super match. Man, so much stuff happened. But I can't think. I don't know if I learned anything.
If no one's there, maybe it's a trap.
If no one's there,
Godo.
Maybe it's a trap. If your dad shows up to tag team with you and then completely upstages you by doing like cool flips and stuff, you should try to incorporate some like more flashy moves and not just stand stationary with your hand held out. Try having some fun with it, man.
Don't be ashamed to learn from your father.
Yeah, he was having a great time.
He's pretty nice.
He was like chopping their necks and shit. You just stood there.
Yeah.
Come on, Kyoka. Give it some flair. The presentation is cardio. Important, too.
Aerobics, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. Well, hopefully one of those lessons is applicable to your lives.
Yeah.
And
always looking to learn. Listening and learning to the Shoujo podcast.
Yep.
Learning about tsundere. You don't have to. It's not just a romantic thing. You can just be like this all the time.
That's right.
It's healthy and good. To just not be honest about your feelings.
Yeah, people like it.
People like it.
It's like
people like to watch it. I don't know if people like it in real life.
Default. Yeah, I don't know. Play dating sim and we'll see if you like it or not. Or I feel like everyone likes a tsundere when they're 13.
Yeah.
And then by the time you're like 20, you're over it.
Yeah. You're like, I've met this guy before and he sucks.
Yeah. So kind of a younger thing, I think. Or maybe it's because when you're 13, no one likes you, so you're like, maybe they just don't like me because they're mean like this.
Oh,
like this character.
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you everyone for listening to us for the last almost 2 years, and here's to 2026 being the best year of Shoujo yet.
The best year.
Huzzah. Woo. All right. Catch you next time.
Episodes 5 and 6.
Bye.
Bye.